Good morning and welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting for February 12th. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Commissioner Ashajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Bloom.
Here.
Commissioner Parker.
Here.
Commissioner Secord.
Present.
Commissioner Crewer. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Present.
Commissioner Sanchez.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Juan.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Let's check with staff to see if there are any changes to the agenda and any announcements, et cetera.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
It does seem like a short 12 hours since
yes,
I saw you.
Yes, very short.
And members of the public, if you wish to address the commission today, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip. They can be found outside at the table. Please put your name and item number on the speaker slip and bring it to the staff table. Chair Neely will call your name prior to the item being heard. We also ask that all cell phones and Blackberries be turned off while in the hearing room. They do interrupt our webcasting. And turning to the changes on today's agenda, on page 13, there are no changes. On page 14, items 7A and 7B, 509, 179, and 180 Hitchcock are both postponed. Item 7C, 509-75 Downs, moved to consent. And I had indicated on the memo change sheet that I passed out that I was going to move the item 7D to consent, but we did receive a letter of comment on that item today, so we won't move that one to consent.
So D will remain on the regular calendar?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
And then there are no changes on the pink addendum.
Okay, and we have time scheduled here for general comments from the public, but we have no, we do have a speaker slip. All right. And this is the time we've scheduled to hear from the public on matters that are not on the regular agenda. And David, is it Plossel? Would you come forward and state your name for the record, and we'll give you 3 minutes.
My name is David Plossel. I'm a Carlsbad resident currently.
Okay, would you go ahead?
I'm here. I'm actually one of several people here that's here to speak about the access issues with the children's pool in San Diego. I'm sure you're aware of this by now from the last couple of days, but the beach is kind of it's in contention, and there's a group of people that is attempting to block access to this open public beach. And the methods they're using are illegal, to say the least. They vandalize cars. They assault people. They'll follow you around screaming at you, threaten to have you killed for simply walking across the water or sand to the water. And actually, what got me involved, and it wasn't so much as the children's pool, because, you know, I'm a fan of sea life. I think we should respect the animals that live down there. And so I would always just kind of go out of my way to not go on that beach. But then about a year ago, one of the people from this group that have actually a business up on the sidewalk, which is within the trust, which falls within the California Coastal Commission's acts or domain. They have a business there that's unlicensed. One of those people followed me around for about half an hour until I had to call the police on her to get me to leave me alone. And it wasn't because I was going on the beach at the children's pool. It was because I was going on the beach next door, which is called Casa Beach. Huh. I was respecting the seals, going to a different beach, and what I guess has happened is the seal population has gotten so large it's overflowed onto the beaches adjacent, and now they're trying to stop access to those beaches as well. And I know the Coastal Commission can guarantee access, and I'd like you guys to actually do something about this. I don't know if you need to set up an access path from the stairs down to the water in the children's pool, because these people aren't going to stop. If they get the children's pool closed, and I actually have video of these people saying that we will close the beach next door as well. I can give you guys links to that on YouTube if you'd like. Same people. But you guys can guarantee our access. And really, by doing that, by saying that access is legal on this beach and we are not going to allow you to stop this, you'll set precedent and tell these people that using violence against people, vandalizing cars, attacking people, is not acceptable. I'm just a normal guy. I just want to be able to walk across the beach and get in the water without getting attacked or coming back and having my car damaged. So that's pretty much what I have to say about the children's pool. And one other thing I'd like you to look into, as a fisherman, there's a thing going through called the MLPA, Marine Life Protection Act, and they're closing a lot of access to fishing up in Orange County. It's a total different direction we're going. And all that's going to be left open for fishermen is private beaches like Emerald Bay, Irvine Cove, Three Arch Bay. And currently they were grandfathered in beyond coastal, or before the Coastal Commission was guaranteeing access. If there's any way the Coastal Commission could look into getting access for people to these other closed private beaches for fishermen in the future, that'd be something great if you guys could do that as well.
All right. Thank you, sir. John Leek.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
While that person's coming forward, let me just point out that the issue of harassment of individuals or whatever is going on down there, that's not within the jurisdiction of this commission. That's a police effort, law enforcement issue. That's not something you can deal with. You will be dealing with the question of some of the restrictions through roping off areas. Apparently, that's an appeal that's before us, and it wasn't appealed by us, but somebody else. So that will be coming forward. Relative to the MPAs, the Marine Protected Areas, this commission is involved in that process. They are limited to offshore waters. They don't affect access to the beach, and they don't affect access to ocean waters. It just deals with extraction, living resources. If they were to involve limiting people's access to get there, we have told them that that would require a review by the Coastal Commission.
All right. Thank you, staff. John Leek, followed by Dr. John Steele, Deidre Price, and Lou Barnum.
Excuse me. My name is David Pierce.
Wait. I'm first. I want to give you my time. Oh, you want to give me
time? Yeah, I'd like to donate my time to Mr. Leek, please.
We're not ceding time today. You can speak yourself, but we're not going to double up on time. We've got some big hearings coming up. Morning, sir.
I am John Leek.
Thank you.
From San Diego. I've told you a lot of things. I never told you what we want. We want to share the beach with the seals per the law and stated city policy. We want the Coastal Commission to determine how public access to children's pool can be maximized within existing law. We want to respectfully and lawfully go on a public beach without harassment by vigilantes, so we came to you. We've heard that if somebody comes to you and says, my family's been using a public beach for generations, and now somebody's put up a business up there, and they're blocking the path to it, and they've hired thugs, and they yell at us, they harass us, they insult us, they threaten us. We're afraid to go on that beach anymore. We heard that you would respond to people that did that. You're our only hope. Please help us.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Wait.
Oh, sorry. There's more?
Next slide. If you do this, it's not easy. There's a lot of misinformation around. You're going to have to uncover some things that have never been published adequately. Here's a question. What distance may you approach a seal under federal law? Nobody. That's very difficult to find out, but I know. How is pupping season treated in the Marine Mammal Protection Act? Does the amended state trust give San Diego discretion to manage the pool as it sees fit? Next slide, which is what the city attorney has told the newspapers. There's the answer. There is the law that the trust says there shall be there a devoted exclusively to public park to there was added a marine mammal park. There is still a bathing pool for children, a parkway, which means that the trust covers the sidewalk up there, a highway, playground, recreational purposes, and other purposes for these. Included is that the absolute right to fish with convenient access to those waters to do that fishing. That's the law, and that's what we ask, equal protection under the law. Next slide. There is questions. I said yesterday, nobody knows the law at Children's Pool. Must San Diego enforce the Marine Mammal Protection Act? Isn't that obvious? Well, has San Diego closed the beach this winter to protect the seals? Does everybody know that? In the last 6 years, how many citations has NOAA issued at CP for seal harassment? NOAA, and do the animal rights activists make a profit at their business table on the sidewalk? Next slide. Okay, you want to know, there's a hint on questions 4 and 5. NOAA is the only authority that can intercede on behalf of marine mammals, one way or the other. No state may enforce or attempt to enforce any state law or regulation relating to the taking of any species of marine mammals within the state unless the secretary has transferred. Next slide.
His time is up.
This is children's pool.
Sir, your time is up.
Next slide. Okay.
Thank you. Dr. John Steele.
Thank you. I'm the president. I'm John Steele, the president of the 501c3 organization that was organized several years ago to support the trust of Ellen Browning Scripps, support her wishes to have the children's pool be a pool for children to learn to swim, et cetera. I would just like to say a few things similar to what the first speaker said in relation to what's going on down there, so you'll get some idea of the environment and the things that are happening at the children's pool. I've said for quite some time, since I swim there every day except when the water is at 56 degrees or the surf is too high. But so I'm swimming almost every day. So I can tell you my experiences there. And I've said for a long time that the problem of the animals at the children's pool is not the animals themselves, but the animal activists. These people will stop people from entering the beach even when there are no seals on the beach. They have created chaos down there on various times, days, and weeks, particularly in the summer. They use megaphones to shout and scream and yell profanity. They will physically block the stairwell. A year and a half ago, one of their leaders had a taser gun and almost killed a man on the beach because the man wouldn't leave the beach. I realized, as the gentleman right here, Peter, I can't read your last name, these are the violations of the municipal codes of the city of San Diego. They have nothing to do with the Coastal Commission. But just so you understand some of the climate that's there, just so you know also, the La Jolla Planning Commission, and in addition, the La Jolla Town Council have three times voted against putting up a rope at the children's pool. A very important issue regarding the Coastal Commission involvement regards putting up a rope. There has been no, as I understand it, no EIR, Environmental Impact Report, been requested by the city to put up the rope or as to how it wants to manage the children's pool. For example, the noise down there has increased enormously for the local citizens who live there in high-rises and retirement homes. There have been tour bus increases. There are car increases. People, activists use megaphones, all create noise. The congestion down there in the summer is unbelievable. You have to drive around for 20 or 30 minutes and hope you can find a parking spot. There are increasing number of tourists. There is water contamination. That pool has been considered contaminated by the lab testing of the County of San Diego. And so parents are reluctant to take their children down on that beach. The ecology problem, that is, there are no fish left in that area. They're gone. They're being digested by the sea, by the animals. And lastly, I'd like to mention to you, there were three days last summer when I myself could not stand the stench and the smell coming from that beach and from the animals that had excreted.
Sir, your time's up.
Thank you. I have three simple handouts, which
Why don't you hand them to the staff?
To each of you. They're easy reading and just one page. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Deidre Price, followed by Lou Barnum and Michael Dong and Jean Perry.
Good morning. I'm moving away from the children's pool. And my name is Deirdre Price. I am from Concerned Citizens for Keeping the Hotel Del Beautiful. The Coastal Commission meeting today was to include our appeal regarding the Hotel Del Coronado, but it has been postponed just as it was in October. Our group is requesting that the hearing regarding the Hotel Del Coronado be scheduled in San Diego County again so that as many Coronado residents as possible can attend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Lou Barnum, followed by... All right. Thank you, sir. Michael Dong, Gene Perry, and Bill Dodds. And David Pierce.
here.
Is that, who's here to speak? If any of the names I called like to come for? Yes, I did, sir, yeah. And you have 3 minutes and state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Michael Dong, and thank you very much for hearing me. I've got a video to go ahead and play. I would like to enter into the record. I've got copies of this CD for you to view at your leisure. There's more information
out of here.
On
you. Thank you. Don't touch me, buddy. Don't touch me.
Don't push, okay?
Don't touch.
Don't take my picture.
Okay, don't push me.
You hit me. I'm going to call the police. Okay, call the police.
You're the one who pushed me.
I
got it on camera. Call the police. I got it on camera.
I didn't touch him.
Got it all on film, buddy.
This does seem kind of humorous. I see Mr.
Nope, don't
Bloom,
go anywhere,
I see
buddy.
Mr. Blank,
hey,
and
don't
several
go
other
anywhere.
People smiling. It is kind of funny, but it's also very sad in that we have a public beach, and that public beach, although
websites
this is a law enforcement issue, is that this has to do with the California Coastal Commission in that the access is being impeded. And this is under the complicit agreement with the San Diego City Council as well as the city DA, or excuse me, a city attorney. What is being perpetuated over there is real, and that's what prompted me to come over here today. I had no plans. However, the word has been is that the California Coastal Commission does not believe that anything is happening over there that is not kind of legal and or professional on the basis of the La Jolla Friends of Seals. They have slashed tires. They've prevented divers from going down there via intimidation. That includes children as well. On the CD are multiple videos and multiple images of children being harassed as well. I've got a 16-year-old daughter who, she learned how to swim there. I learned how to dive there back in 1982. We can no longer really go down there and participate in the use of a public beach. I've polled over the past year over 78 swimmers and divers at the children's pool. Out of that 78, 60 of them said that they enjoyed sharing the beach and they enjoyed being in the water with the harbor seals, which if you're in the water with the harbor seals, they're much like dogs. I mean, they'll follow you around. They're fantastic animals. So it's not that we're complaining about the seals. We just want the access. And the Coastal Commission has the ability to codify that and to place it firmly in writing that the access is preserved for the public and that it should not be curtailed by special interest groups. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Jean Perry.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Jean Perry. I'm from La Jolla. I'm a mother who have... I have two children who've been denied access to the children's pool. Basically, I'm here just to sort of finish up what John Leek had spoken about, and that is the fact that the city of San Diego, by roping off a beach, is conducting a federal activity. They do not have authority to conduct a federal activity on public land. The problem here also is the fact that if they do, they need a permit. And I see no permit filed, and there is no certificate of federal consistency that I see has been filed with the Coastal Commission. So this is, to me, I see an ongoing problem, and we are now faced with another permit process going through, which I do believe is going through the wrong channels. So I am asking the Coastal Commission to please examine the next permitting process with the city and make sure that it is consistent with the laws that are in place, the very laws that I find on the Coastal Commission site, talking about federal consistency. And there is protocol that must be addressed there. And I'm asking you, please, to not allow a beach access to be impeded under the California Constitution, Article 10. There are other inconsistencies there, too. But I think the most important thing is that we cannot look the other way and have marine mammal management as a park and merely through a legislative amendment think that it's okay to do what they're doing. It's just impossible to have all of that on one trust. Thank you.
Thank you. Phil Dodds and David Pierce.
Good morning. My name is Bill Dodds, and I represent the Hotel Del Coronado. I wanted to thank the Commission and the Commission staff for working with the hotel to address concerns raised by staff and appellants related to the Del's master plan coastal development permits. We have worked diligently during this appeal period with staff and appreciate their time and assistance in this process. We recently arrived at a mutually agreeable resolution of Unite Here Local 30's appeal of the coastal development permit. And with modifications the Del has recently made to its application, Local 30 has withdrawn its appeal and is fully supportive of the hotel's amended master plan. We look forward to coming before this commission as soon as staff has completed its review, hopefully within the next several months. Thank you.
Thank you. David Pierce? Oh, did you want to speak at this time?
Hello, my name is David Pierce. I'm a director of the San Diego Council of Divers. I'm leaving off where John Leake left off, or starting where John Leake left off. In this picture, you can see the children's pool beach. If you look at the top of the stairs, mid-level, where the two stairways split, this gentleman's back is towards us. That person's goal is to stop everybody from going down on that beach. And everybody that's gone down on that beach has gone through him, because we go down there, put up our beach chair and umbrella, and it's hard for them to start keeping people from coming down at that point. This is 4th of July, 2009. Beautiful beach. Seals still come and go. Next slide, please. Here's another view looking down on the beach. The rocks that are below the wall there in the background, there's a few seals there sleeping. Nobody's bothering them. Next slide, please. Here's the rope barrier. It's kind of hard to tell which side of the rope you're supposed to be on here, but you can tell because of the way the sign is facing. Seals are on the wrong side, aren't they? Anyways, they don't recognize the rope. Next slide, please. And here's Mr. Leake. He was down there. These seals came up to him. He didn't approach the seals. These seals are acclimated to people. Again, a lot of them have been rehabilitated and released there by SeaWorld. They're not afraid of people. They've been hand-fed and raised. Next slide, please. Here's the answers to the questions that John was posing. To what distance may you approach the seals under federal law? There's no distance. The only thing is you just can't harass a seal. And in the Marine Mammal Protection Act, pupping season is not mentioned anywhere. Does the amendment of the state trust give San Diego discretion to manage the pool as it seems fit? There is no discretion. Must the San Diego enforce the Marine Mammal Protection Act? San Diego and the state must abide by the Marine Mammal Protection Act. They are not allowed to enforce it or any law like it. Next slide, please. Has the San Diego closed beaches in the winter to protect seals? No, its rope barrier permits specifically stipulates the beach remain open, and the rope is just a reminder. In the last 6 years, how many citations from NOAA issued at the children's pool for seal harassment? There has been no citations issued. They receive hundreds of complaints every year. Do the animal rights activists make profit from their business table on the sidewalk? Here's their income tax statement for the year 2007. $308,000 donations, souvenirs. This is a business to impede our access. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes public comment. Commissioner Sanchez, did you wish to address the commission?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, I know that this is an ongoing, this has been an ongoing issue for the City Council of San Diego, and I have read with a lot of curiosity from the very beginning. And I know that there was a court case that basically allowed the seals to stay. But the thing that I did not know, and I'm looking at a website here, basically says that the permit regarding the rope was heard by a hearing officer on December 2nd, 2009, and was approved. On December 7th, a member of the public filed an appeal of that decision with the Development Services Department. The filing of an appeal requires permit now to be heard by the City Planning Commission. The matter is targeted to be heard before the commission at their January 21st, 2010 meeting. So there was a hearing, and I understand that they are going through the permitting process. So it looks like it is a City of San Diego issue and that they are going through a process. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Parker, did you have your hand up? No? Mr. Bloom?
Yeah, from what I can see, clearly a City of San Diego issue, and as Mr. Douglas said earlier, quite possibly a law enforcement issue, and I'd just like to suggest what I'm hearing is in the nature of complaints. When I receive a complaint in my jurisdiction, I refer it on to the city and just ask that it be appropriately investigated and handled, and I'd like to suggest that we ask Mr. Douglas to do that on behalf of the commission. We've received all this information. We can ask the city to review our record, which is a public record from 2 days of public comment, I believe, and hope that if there is any action that needs to be taken, that the city will do that.
Okay. Yes, Madam Chair, we'll do that. We'll write a letter to the city explaining the public comments we got here and the fact that I've said we have no jurisdiction relative to the way that people are being treated doesn't mean we don't share their concern.
Exactly.
About intimidating tactics and inappropriate behavior to try to impede their legal access to the beach. So, but it's not our responsibility, or we don't have the authority to go in and arrest people and tell them how to behave, even if you didn't have the First Amendment of the Constitution to deal with.
Although
we'll write a letter to the city.
We certainly can express our hope that everyone behave responsibly and like adults.
Yes, and I'll go ahead and write a letter.
Just, all right, thank you. Commissioner Wan?
Just a very quick comment. I don't think we can make an assumption based on what we've seen and heard today one way or the other. So I don't want us to assume that, in fact, the intimidation that is being claimed is taking place. I think the letter needs to say if there is evidence that it's taking place, that's one thing, and they should look into it. But we don't really – I'm not in a position to judge, even from what I've seen, one way or the other. And I don't think we should take a position about that.
Yep, I agree.
Yes, Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you. I just want to say that, add that I'm not here making a judgment call either. I just see that this is a City of San Diego issue, and apparently the City Council did direct the City Manager to place the rope. It's an annual rope barrier from December 15th through May 15th. That's the pupping season. And there was apparently a law that became effective January 1st, so it is now a park, state law, mammal park. So I think this needs to go to the City of San Diego without any judgment. Just say that we've received some of these comments, and that's it. Thank you. Okay,
Commissioner Bloom?
Well, I hope that I'm not giving anybody the sense that I think one party or one individual or the other is behaving responsibly or not. I am hearing some very serious concerns about behavior. We were shown a video. I'm not able to conclude from that video who's responsible, but I can tell you I don't like the behavior I see. There's conflict there, and I hope that that a way is found to make sure that there is as little conflict and hopefully none as possible.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Thank you. A question to the staff, to Mr. Douglas. Peter, I'm just wondering if any part of this is our jurisdiction at all. And I'd like to hear, because I'm hearing a lot of surfing on the issue, so I'd just like to hear a definitive. Is any part of this, sorry.
Yes, the issue of public access and impedance of public access is clearly an issue within our jurisdiction. The problem is when you have individual citizens behaving in a way that is intimidating, it's not a governmental entity or it's not a private association or business, that's not within our jurisdiction
or
authority. But the notion of public access being restricted by a pattern of behavior, that certainly is something that we should be concerned about, and I think the letter to the city is an appropriate way to deal with that, because it's really their responsibility to make sure that law enforcement occurs so that the citizens who do feel that they're being harassed have some sort of protection.
But then as it implicates the welfare or coexistence between people and animal in itself, that is not our jurisdiction, or is it?
No, that's the Marine Mammal Protection Act. That's NOAA that does that.
And on a state level, is there another entity of like ours that would also help provide some guidance?
Department of Fish and Game.
Okay. Well, then I would certainly say that whatever letter occurs, that we cover our bases and have this letter copied to at least all the right entities so that the net is spread far and wide. Because I don't want the people who are coming here to sort of, I think, have misplaced expectations, but then again, for us not to rise to those expectations effectively, and other agencies should be notified of this as well.
Okay. No problem.
All right. Thank you, commissioners, and thank you, staff. Let's move to the regular agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Moving to item 4, this is the administrative calendar for the South Coast District, Orange County. There are 3 items, and all the conditions are acceptable to the applicants. We're not aware of any public opposition. We recommend you concur with the executive director and approve the administrative calendar.
All right, thank you. Any objections to concurrence with the administrative or with the executive director on the administrative calendar? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item 5 is the Deputy Director's Report for the South Coast District, Orange County. This is the list of waivers, non-material amendments, and extensions for the South Coast District, and this is just the Orange County portion. There are 3 waivers, 2 non-material amendments, and 1 non-material extension. We haven't received any adverse comments on these items to date, and therefore we recommend the Commission concur with the Executive Director and approve the Deputy Director's Report.
Thank you, staff. Any objections to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item number 6 is the item removed from today's regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff. There's only the one item, 7C-509-175 Downs. There is a minor change in the addendum. It's additional findings, and there's also a letter of support. We believe all these conditions are acceptable to the applicant, and we recommend that the commission approve this item on the consent calendar.
All right. Let me check to see if there are any ex parte communications starting on my right on the consent calendar item, which is 7C. Seeing none. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
And we have a motion by Commissioner Shaji and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And item 6.5A is on the pink sheet. This is an appeal. I have a PowerPoint on this item, please. This is appeal 5 DPT 1010 King. And it's an appeal by the Commissioners Juan and Schallenberger of a decision of Dana Point to allow repair and revegetation of an eroded coastal bluff that consists of grading activities that will create a series of terraces using geogrid and new fill soil placed to match the former contours of the slope. There's also installation of a drainage system and native landscaping, and this is on a site developed with a single-family home shown in the slide. The bluff erosion occurred in the mid 2007, resulting from apparently oversaturation of the bluff by unattended garden hose, and it resulted in a debris field beginning just below the edge of the bluff and continuing uninterrupted to the sandy public beach below. The information contained in the geotechnical reports indicate that the proposed protective device is not necessary to protect the existing principal structure. It indicates the existing structure is not in danger from erosion. And staff is concerned about the city's interpretation of the bluff protection policies and the city's finding that reconstructing the bluff with grading and geotextile fabric and drainage devices will restore the natural landform. It also appears that the bluff repair is being proposed, could be being proposed to protect accessory structures on the site, the patio and the lawn. And this is also not consistent with LCP policies, which clearly indicate if accessory structures are threatened, they should be removed and not protected. Therefore, staff is recommending the commission find substantial issue to allow us to look at alternatives, specifically less structural alternatives, that may be necessary to address this man-made drainage problem. The precedent here is a concern, and you can see on the slide that the bluffs below these homes in this area are in their natural state and without bluff and shoreline protective devices. And so the public and scenic views of this natural landform are also protected through the policies of the certified LCP. Because staff is recommending substantial issue, unless three or more commissioners want to have a full hearing on this item, substantial issue will be found, and we will return with a recommendation de novo after we've had a chance to look at some alternatives.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me see if there are any ex parte communications on this item. Okay, seeing none. We do have one speaker, but I just need to ask the question, do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue? Seeing none, substantial issue has been found, so we won't be having a hearing on this item today. The de novo hearing will be scheduled in the future.
And the next item is 7D-509-128, the City of Newport Beach. There is a letter of support in this for this project in the addendum. And I have a PowerPoint on this, please. This is a project on China Cove Beach in Corona del Mar of Newport Beach. As you can see on the slides, there's residential development inland and down coast of the China Cove Beach. There is a marine institute. Just in this location, up coast of the beach area where the project is installation of a volleyball court. It's 30 feet by 60 feet, and it includes 2 8-foot high poles that would accommodate a volleyball net in this location. The city has actually characterized this as relocation of an existing volleyball court, but it's been determined that the previous volleyball court that existed on this beach since the 1980s was not permitted. So we are looking at this as a new volleyball court on this beach. Our issue was the concern of whether or not there was adequate area on the beach to accommodate both the volleyball use and general public use in this area, and we found that this was a preferred location to the previous location in that it didn't represent some of the same conflicts with the adjacent residential uses. It is in an area that was previously occupied by non-native ice plant. Some of that has been removed without a permit, and that after the fact removal of that ice plant is being incorporated into this permit. So what you have before you is removal of the vegetation and installation of a new volleyball court in this location. I was going to move this to consent, as I said, but we did receive a letter today indicating concerns regarding compliance with ADA requirements. I'm not certain if that's regarding the location of the volleyball court or its design. And so I'd like to close my comments at this time and hear from the public and the city.
Thank you, staff. Let me check for ex parte communications first, starting on my right. None to report. All right, then we will go ahead with the hearing and hear from the City of Newport Beach's representative, Mr. Sean Levin. How much time would you like?
3 minutes should be sufficient.
Okay, give him five just to be sure.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Commission. My name is Sean Levin from the City of Newport Beach Recreation Superintendent. I'll give you a brief history on how we've come to this location of this court. We received two applications from residents, one to remove the court and one to relocate the court. We heard those at our Parks, Beaches, and Recreation Commission meeting, and at that time, the decision by our commission was to create a subcommittee to see if we could come up with an alternate location that would be reasonable to the applicants to remove and relocate and the volleyball players. We did that. We met four times out on the beach and came up with this alternate location that you see here. It was agreed upon by the applicants and the volleyball players that this would meet everybody's needs and looked at as a win-win by that by our subcommittee. There was also the three commissioners that were part of that subcommittee and staff. So we came up with the alternate location that you see, and I understand there's an issue, question of access. If you look at the, well, if you have the map there, Coast, can you put that slide back up, if possible? Be easier to see. Yeah. Where you see Cove Street, Cove Street actually is both locations. Yes, correct, right there. And it's also Cove Street down at the bottom, right there. Yeah. The main access, there's an alley that runs back, Way Lane is in the back, that runs back behind the houses and comes down to Cove Street up by the Marine Center, actually up on the other side. And so there's access onto the beach from both sides of Cove Street. Actually, I think this creates a better situation for access Cove Street, the north side of Cove Street, because where the existing court was before, it laid across and it was, I still don't think it was difficult to get onto the beach, but you have less of an impact if somebody wanted to come from that location. Another thing that was part of our recommendation was to create hours that the volleyball court could be used. So it was going to restrict use between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., thinking that that was when the peak hours of beach use would be, so we wouldn't have a conflict with beach use and the volleyball court. So the volleyball players would need to use the court before that time or after that time in the evening. So that was another part of the recommendation. So I'll entertain any questions at that this time if there are any.
All right. There are none at this time, so we're going to finish the public hearing, but thank you. And if you need some time for rebuttal, we'll give you that. Bruce Ensley.
My name is Bruce Ensley. I support the recommendation from the City of Newport Beach for the volleyball court. I've been a homeowner of Corona del Mar, in Corona del Mar for 26 years and played volleyball actually at that court, the previous location, for more than 30 years. I'm the individual that submitted the letter with the photos that I've taken on weekends and holidays showing that the area where the court is being or proposed to be relocated, it virtually goes unused. Beachgoers, as you can imagine, at most beaches tend to gather by the water, so the area where the volleyball court is would not disrupt any current beachgoers. And the volleyball court, by the way, has been away from, or there has been no volleyball court at that beach for approximately a year and a half now. So the beachgoers are aware that there's no volleyball court. They could obviously sit wherever they want on the beach. The beach is a small beach, and I think that some people have felt because it's a small beach there shouldn't be a volleyball court there. But again, because no one's using that area, we think the volleyball players feel that it's appropriate. Something that's important to us, too, is an enemy of volleyball or competitive volleyball is wind. And this particular beach happens to be one of the best beaches in all of Southern California for protection from the wind. As well, there is a state beach with some volleyball courts nearby, but those courts are used constantly on the weekends and full. Bottom line, the volleyball court has existed, coexisted with the beachgoers and the residents successfully for, as far as I know, more than 30 years. And so we feel that the volleyball court is appropriate for that beach. When I say we, the volleyball players, but also because it has coexisted there with the beachgoers and the residents for so long, we feel that it's appropriate to continue with the volleyball court. And I agree with Sean. I think it's a win-win proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Julia Royal Gold. Could you pull the microphone down, ma'am, so that we can hear you? Take your time.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Julia Royal Gold, and I have been active in the area of disability rights for over 62 years and kind of an Ellen Stern Harris of that area. And 30 years ago was the founding member of the Disability Rights Law Center, which is now a part of Loyola Law School, and worked on the Lanterman Act and so on. So I do feel qualified to speak on the point that I'm speaking to you this morning. The relocation of the volleyball court in China Cove makes the public beach at China Cove inaccessible to disabled persons in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Any approval of this project should be conditioned upon the City of Newport Beach complying with that law, as it does interfere with access to the beach. China Cove is the only sheltered public beach in Corona Del Mar. By that I mean the quiet ocean, so that families and children and people who do have disability problems have access to the beach and the water. Three blocks away at State Beach, as you heard earlier, there are nine, that's three blocks away, there are nine volleyball courts. So there are certainly sufficient volleyball courts in Corona Del Mar. I have spoken in opposition to this court for this reason previously, and I understand from staff this morning that that the commission would only consent to this or move it to another date, and I would certainly suggest that I would be happy to work, given my experience, with the city to overcome the problems if the matter were set over for that purpose. However, I did want to, for the record, raise this point on this issue. And thank you very much for hearing me. Are there any questions?
Okay, thank you, ma'am. And Commissioner Mercurimi, I don't know if you had a question for the speaker or a comment.
Well, I would like to affiliate, I think, with your sentiment, so I'm just curious if this had been a proposal through staff back to all parties involved about holding this matter over.
Staff?
Yes. Through the chair, we could postpone this item. We really have not looked into this with the city. We're not quite sure of the transition to the beach from that access point, and so we have not analyzed the location of this volleyball.
And then is the question, which is I think an important consideration, if in fact that this is valid, on disabled or special needs access, is that interplay into this or not?
Can we have council maybe address that?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. While all public facilities are required to comply with the ADA, and the cities that come forward with public facility proposals are required to make sure that happens, it's not the Coastal Commission's area of expertise or compliance responsibility. So staff really isn't in a position to make that determination. That is the city's obligation, and they certainly have that obligation under the law. But the Coastal Commission's responsibility is the Coastal Act. If there is a change in the city's proposal due to compliance with the ADA, they would have to come back to ensure that the new proposal is consistent, or you know, if it's a material change. But it is a, the staff really is not in a position to determine ADA compliance.
Well, if I may, technically that's right, but we have always tried to address ADA concerns too within the scope of our authority. So we can look at this, and I think the way that we would do it is continue it, talk to the city, ask them how they have accommodated the concerns about access here. It's not something that we don't care about.
No, and I absolutely knew that, and I didn't derive that from Council Schmelzer's
I didn't either, but yeah. I just wanted to make sure that we can look at this, even though technically it's
not our responsibility. And I realize that that's not our jurisdiction per se, but a lot of what the Coastal Act certainly provides for is pre also of what ADA access laws were. And so in that intersection of that time, that is not captured in what the Coastal Act is. I was wondering what pulpit we can use to help push at least those reconciliations of issues.
Okay. The public hearing is closed now, so we're just going to hear from commissioners, ma'am, but why don't you have a seat? Pardon me? Oh, that's right. Did you want rebuttal? Sorry, City of Eureka. I just had a question asked about that. We're going to finish the hearing, and then we'll come on, sir, from the city, and then we'll go to commissioners. So sort of out of line there.
I just wanted to point out that this project in no way is, we're not altering the access to the beach. So I'm just concerned. I just don't know how this plays in or what the question with the access is, because we're not dealing with the access points to the beach at all. Not constructing anything. So,
all right. Thank you, sir. And was there anything else in terms of rebuttal?
No.
All right. Then the hearing is closed, and we'll bring it back to staff first.
Yes, just again, what we looked at was the ability to accommodate both the volleyball use and general public use on this beach. The city's point that they aren't altering the actual physical means to get to the beach by this volleyball court is a point, you know, to consider. We do think that the proposed location is consistent with the Coastal Act.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. I heard something of the nature of an access issue, but I didn't hear any facts that indicated there was some way that access was being prevented. All I see is that it's being moved just a short distance, and it does not look like, in fact, they are making room for it. They are leveling. They're taking out ice plants and leveling it. So I don't see how any case has been made before us that access has been in any way impeded. Okay. What I hear from the and what I read is that there's an additional area being created to accommodate the volleyball court, and I see restrictions on hours of play. So I see that there has been substantial efforts to ensure the coexistence of volleyball and access to the public. I don't see any particular access problems that have been described specifically. So I don't see any reason to continue this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. And Commissioner Secord, you got your question answered, or did you have
another
comment?
No, I didn't. It's essentially the same question. I'd like Mrs. Gold or Ms. Gold to help us understand how access is being compromised. It strikes me that the removal of the ice plant, the development here is two poles in the sand. The volleyball court has no physical elements other than just sand. So I'm wondering if Mrs. Gold would come up here and tell us how access is being compromised.
Well, I think the hearing is closed, and I think the evidence is on the record. The evidence is on the record, so.
No, I don't think
Mrs.
the evidence
Gold, would
is on
you
the
like
record.
To come down and address the question, ma'am?
The evidence is not on the record. It's an assertion that this woman says the access is interfered with, and I would like to have her show me with a slide and a pointer precisely how that is so.
My question, Bonnie, my question is totally different. My question is totally different. It's
not. Yes. In the.
Yes.
State your name for the record again, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Julia Royal Gold.
Thank you.
And if you will note on the map that I attached a photograph, which is the same map that was in your staff report, the volleyball court now completely blocks the street from the entrance from Cove Street, whereas the prior court did not. But any access goes straight into the volleyball court. And for anyone disabled or having special needs would need to, from that point, would need to circle the entire beach to get down to the water. And I had indicated where the blockage is with a red arrow. So other than walking the site out, right now that's the best that I could do. And my concern is that there has been a lack of concern. Yes, that's the entrance that's being blocked. No. That's the other side of Cove Street.
Where's the entrance?
Is there a picture that shows the entrance? Could we put that one up?
Ms. Chair, can we ask questions, or how do we?
Certainly, especially of this the speaker. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you mind, Commissioner Secord? Is the surface sand?
Yes.
It's all sand?
Yes.
And so you're saying to go around still now, you're still going around on sand, or it's somehow yes. that there's a different yes. surface?
Yes. Going. No, there's not a different surface. There's sand. So there's a street that dead ends at the beach, and the volleyball court is now across that street at a diagonal and blocks the free access to the beach or to the water from that entrance.
And you're saying by this proposal that they would have to go around creating, okay, thank you.
So hazard.
You're asserting that the access has to be straight line linear, point A to point B?
No, it has to be access for the disabled must be equal to that for the non-disabled.
Small.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am. The next commissioner is Commissioner Wan.
Well, I was trying to understand this because I'm not quite sure I know where the entrance is. But on another issue, I'll let others. If you put the, would you put that your slide back up? Because I have a question of you. No, not this one. That one. That's right. Now, I can't tell for sure, but do you have any idea what the plants are at the far end of the court are? Because those do not. I'm sure they're not just ice plant, because the ice plant is the flat stuff, and I'm removing ice plant is great. But if those happen to be, if those are native plants in any way, then I would have a concern. Otherwise, I don't. But do you know what they are?
Yeah, staff was on the beach, and it was all non-native.
Okay, that's all. That answers my question.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you. It seems that I don't know that we can solve the ADA issues here, and that might be something for – that's going to have to be something that's the city's obligation and something for the city to do. So what we're faced with is if we approve this permit – and there are ADA issues, it's going to come back to us for a permit amendment. And if there's a little bit of time to work that out, as I look at the maps of this, it's a very small beach. It's difficult to say what the access really is or isn't. And if we're, and I understand under the Coastal Act, our goal is just access. It's not necessarily dealing with the ADA. But to me, anytime we're impeding any kind of an access and we're making it more difficult for folks with disabilities to get through or around this volleyball court. And if the volleyball court is being used,
then
it's a little bit intimidating for somebody to go near it or go by it. And there was a reference that it may be used for competitive volleyball, which means that it will have a lot more take up a lot more room than just the people there may take up a lot more room than just the simple size of the court. So I think the city needs to figure out what its issues are with respect to ADA, and I'd rather that we continue this at least for a month so that they can figure that out, maybe work with Ms. Gould, and then bring something back to us that we can do once and then not have to redo. Because if we take any action, I feel that blocks anybody's access or makes it more difficult for somebody to get down to the beach, especially since it's a quiet beach. It's a beach that if it does have less wind and is easier for disabled people to get in and out of the water or for families to get in and out of the water, I think that certainly is something that we do have an interest in. So I'd rather that it gets solved rather than come back to us a second time.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Secord?
Well, I agree with Commissioner Stone. On the other hand, I think that this is the Coastal Commission, not the ADA Commission, and the city has an obligation to behave according to the ADA. So if we pass a motion to approve this and send it back to the city, we can assume that they'll do the right thing.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Parker.
ADA requires a 5-foot unobstructed pathway. That is the only requirement it is in ADA. 5 feet clear. It requires a certain elevations, and that's why I asked the question, and I think Mark Herrera asked the question, was it sand surface? Once you get on the sand and you have 5 feet clear, it's sand. It doesn't require, because most of the times, and if all of us will probably go outside of this building where we have ADA, we'll have a transition. It'll go one way and a landing in between. You can only go up so much. It's a 2% slope, and that's it. I don't know what we're going to accomplish by saying to the city, you can't basically have a 5-foot width and go around sand and go whatever way you want to, because we don't control, and something that we can't do, even the tides when they come in, they're going to create a slope, etc., that may even be greater than that of 5% by virtue itself of the tide. I don't know what we're accomplishing when we're saying let the city go back and talk about what the sand. Once someone gets to the sand, they are at the mercy itself of the elements itself of the sea. And as long as we give them a 5-foot access, I don't know what else we can do. And I don't know what else the city can do. Certainly to the extent we can't, if someone was putting in concrete and doing all of those kinds of things in order to make this a surface, it would be different. So I don't think while we're creating more and more coming back really is going to accomplish anything in this regard.
Thank you. Commissioner McCaramy?
Well, that was the intent of my earlier comment, that I think even though not within our purview in the ADA question, the consequences of our actions here actually may prompt these particular questions. So that whether they come back to us eventually or on the front end, I'd rather cure this on the front end as much as possible, which is why I was intimating the idea of a continuance. I think having that 1 month would at least give us a more an informative posture later on as to are these issues worked out. And even though we do not oversee ADA concern in itself, I would feel somewhat responsible that if we had caused any adverse consideration or unintended consequence, then I would be concerned. And so I'd like to at least get these questions answered, and then I think we can make a more informed decision several weeks from now.
Commissioner Schallenberger?
Move to continue.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Schallenberger, seconded by Commissioner Stone to continue this matter. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the matter is continued.
All right, and we'll, because of the timing here, we'll bring this back next month. I think it just gives us time to talk to the city a little bit more about these specific issues.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and that brings us to the last item, is item 8A, 5, 10, 14, EDD, the Lacuna Terrace Park, LLC. And I want to draw your attention to this gold addendum. We did receive a letter from the applicant's representative, and there is a written response to a number of points that are raised in that letter. In this addendum. And Carl Swing of the Long Beach office will present this item.
Good morning, Commissioners. Item 8A is regarding the appealability to the Commission of Laguna Beach's decision to approve a coastal development permit to subdivide the Laguna Terrace Mobile Home Park that is currently comprised of just a couple lots into 162 lots. The City of Laguna Beach contends that its approval of a coastal development permit for this division of land in the coastal zone is not appealable to the Commission. However, the Executive Director has determined that the proposed development involves a division of land and a reconfiguration of lots that are located within 100 feet of a stream identified on the City's appeals area map, and therefore the city's action is appealable. Commission staff recommends that the commission uphold the executive director's determination. There we go. Slide one, the subject site is an approximately 270-acre area partly developed with a mobile home park located at 30802 Coast Highway in the southern part of the City of Laguna Beach. The developed mobile home park occupies about 14 acres within and at the mouth of Hobo Canyon. The remainder of this 270-acre area is undeveloped and contains steep hills and prominent ridgeline, with a mosaic of vegetation types, including southern maritime chaparral, ceanothus chaparral, toyon sumac chaparral, and coastal sage scrub. This area is contiguous with Aliso Creek and the Aliso and Wood Canyons Regional Park. Slide two. Commission staff is looking at the 270-acre area in its lot configuration prior to two unpermitted lot line adjustments that were recorded in 1995. Our understanding of that lot configuration is shown on slide two, represented by the red lines. The dark blue lines are a representation of a stream-based appeals area depicted on the city's post-cert map dated September 1993. I'm sorry, just a second. No, previous slide? Yeah, that should be the correct one. The city's action would have the effect of separating a 46-acre area that contains the mobile home park, shown here in orange on slide three, from the 270-acre area, and further dividing that 46-acre area into 162 lots. Next slide. Leaving a remainder lot of about 224 acres, which is shown here in purple on slide four. Because the appeals area extends into a lot, the purple colored lot, that would be reconfigured as a result of the proposed subdivision, the city's action on the coastal permit is appealable to the commission. The city appears to have made its appeals determination based on a configuration of lots and lot lines that as contained in the 1995 lot line adjustments that were never approved under any coastal development permit. Also, late Tuesday, Commission staff received a letter from a law firm representing the mobile home park that is involved in the subdivision. The letter challenges the Commission's authority in this matter in a variety of ways. The letter raises concerns about the dispute resolution procedures followed in this case, questions the Commission's appellate jurisdiction, and asserts that the Commission must recognize the 1995 lot line adjustments under a number of different legal theories, and even argues that the present land division is exempt from CDP requirements. The letter also challenges our conclusions based on what they view as mapping errors. Commission staff has responded to each of these allegations in the addendum that was passed out this morning with the gold-colored cover sheet. In sum, Commission staff do not believe this letter has raised any issues that would prevent the Commission from moving forward to resolve this dispute today. Also, another issue that we pointed out in the addendum is in preparation for this matter, Commission staff has also turned up information which suggests that the entire subdivision, including all of the mobile home park, is within the Hobo Canyon area of deferred certification, and that the Commission has sole coastal permitting jurisdiction here, not the city. Additional research on this issue is needed since the post-cert map adopted by the Commission contains conflicting information. Again, while this is unresolved, Commission staff believes the Commission can move forward on the decision about appealability today without prejudice toward the outcome of staff's additional research. And that concludes my comments.
And I just want to confirm or emphasize that the question that is before the Commission today is a resolution of the dispute between the executive director on the city and the city on the question of whether or not the subdivision of the mobile home park is appealable to the Commission. And that concludes staff's comments.
Thank you, staff. Let's go to the Commission and see if there are any ex parte communications, starting on my right. Commissioner Kruer?
Yes, on February 5th in my office in La Jolla, I met with Dave Grubb, Gabrielle Sommer, and Penny Alia for the Sierra Club. And they said they support the staff recommendation that the project is appealable. And the project is appealable because it's an area of defined deferred certification. The city's claim that is not appealable is based on unpermitted lot line adjustments. And third, it is within 100 feet of multiple streams. That was the extent of my ex parte.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Bloom?
On Monday, February 8th, at 2:30 p.m. by telephone, I met with Penny Alia. I spoke with Penny Alia and had the same conversation that Commissioner Kruer had.
Okay. Commissioner Blank and then Commissioner Sanchez.
Yes, Madam Chair. I got an email from Mike Ferrara and Lenny Roberts stating identical points of Commissioner Kruer and Commissioner Bloom.
Thank you. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. On Tuesday, February 9th at 10 a.m. in Oceanside, I did meet with Dave Grubb for the Sierra Club, and the communication was exactly the same as that of Commissioner Kruer.
All right. Thank you. Anyone? Oh, Commissioner Schellenberger.
Yes, on Monday, February 8th, I had a phone conversation with Penny Alia, which covered exactly the same points outlined by Commissioner Kruer.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you. On February 4th at 1 o'clock in my offices, I met with Grant Wiesman and Margie Kay of ORCA, and the discussion was pretty much the same as Commissioner Kruer's.
All right. And Commissioner Shajian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On February 3rd at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, I had a meeting with Sandra Brazil and Margaret Ambrosavage from ORCA SLO. And the issues they discussed with me was that the dispute resolution arising from the ongoing attempt by the City of Laguna Beach to circumvent the Coastal Act and Coastal Commission involvement jurisdiction, combined the ongoing efforts of a mobile home park owner to continue their destruction of ASHA, endangered species, and multiple city map water courses. Protection of ASHA, endangered species, and water courses are priority issues up and down our coast, as well as the proper conversion of Coastal Mobile Home Parkland. An appeal has already been filed opposing the city's action on this issue, but has been held. Notice of final action is released by the city indicating appealability, and they're recommending that I support the staff's recommendation.
All right, thank you. And I had an ex parte communication with Maggie Herbelin of ORCA, and they indicated they support the staff's recommendation, and that is on file. So we'll go to the public hearing, and let me first ask if there is a representative from the city of Laguna Beach. I see no sign-up sheet from the city. There is no one here representing the city. All right. So then let's go to the applicant, Boyd Hill. Or you represent the applicant today?
Yes, madam. And Mr. Lawson is also here representing the applicant, and I may give some of my time to him. How much time do I have?
How much time would you like, sir?
About 10 to 15.
10? Sounds
probably,
good.
Probably closer to 10. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, members of the Coastal Commission and staff. My name is Boyd Hill. I'm from the law firm Hart, King & Coldren. I represent Laguna Terrace Park, LLC, the holder of the subject permit. This permit pertains to the Laguna Terrace Mobile Home Park. The park and its residences have existed since the 1950s. This permit pertains to an application to subdivide the park into the park rental spaces into individual lots that can be purchased by the residents. The Subdivision Map Act refers to this particular application as a conversion to resident ownership. The permit pertains to the simple mapping of the existing spaces and nothing more. As such, it has none of the characteristics of a conventional subdivision. There will be no grading, no construction, no realignment, or any activity other than the mapping of the lots. This conversion to resident ownership is of paramount importance to the vast majority of the mobile home residents who desire to purchase the lots they are currently renting. The park owner who I represent will lose the rental income from the residents, and the residents will free themselves from rent payments and rent increases. They will have the opportunity to finance their mobile homes at much cheaper rates that are available to those who own their own land. They will benefit from the park owner's tax basis when they purchase their lots. It is also extremely important for the Commission to understand the very restrictive nature of review under the Subdivision Map Act for the application as prescribed by the legislature for a conversion.
Sir, I just want to just make sure so we don't use your time. We are just addressing the issue of appealability. So
I understand that.
Okay.
I'm getting to that really quickly.
Thank you.
The applicable code section, Government Code Section 66427.5, makes the city review of the subdivision application ministerial in nature. If the applicant submits the map, a conversion impact report, and a resident survey of support, the city has no discretion to deny the subdivision application, but must approve it. In the words of the statute, Government Code 66427.5, the scope of the hearing shall be limited to the issue of compliance with this section. Nowhere in Section 66427.5 does it state that the city must also consider any local coastal plan or compliance with the Coastal Act. Indeed, the plain language of Government Code Section 66427.5 expressly precludes any such further consideration by the city. Up until August 2009, cities believed they had some degree of discretion under Section 66427.5. But in August 2009, the California Court of Appeal resoundingly stated that cities had no discretion with respect to mobile home park conversion to resident ownership. In the words of the Court of Appeal, that is what Section 66427.5 does. It says, in effect, local authority, you have this power, but no more. You might be asking yourself, why would the legislature take away any discretion by cities over such applications for conversion to resident ownership? We're under city planning authority, and as an agent of the Coastal Commission under the Coastal Act, they would normally have such authority. That is explained both by the nature of the application to convert to resident ownership as a mere paper mapping and by the pervasive statutory scheme giving plenary authority over mobile home park development from cradle to grave to the California Department of Housing and Community Development. As the Court of Appeal concluded, Section 66427.5 does not stand alone. If the legislature ever did leave the field of park legislation to local control, that day is long past. Further, the California Court of Appeal said, find my spot here. The survey of state legislation already undertaken determines that the state has taken for itself the commanding voice over mobile home regulation. Localities are allowed little scope to improvise or deviate from the legislature's script. The state's dominance was in place before the subject of mobile home park conversion was introduced into the subdivision map in 1991. And further, it must be recalled that the predicate of the statutory examination is a functioning park with existing tenants with all necessary permits and inspections needed for current operation. As Sequoia points out, mobile home parks being converted under 66427.5 have already been mapped out, plotted out, approved under zoning and general plans, and subjected to applicable health and safety regulations. Moreover, the park has been inspected and relicensed on an annual basis. So against that backdrop, now we're met here with this particular permit. Under the Coastal Act, under the Subdivision Map Act, this application is exempt from further review. Also, under the Coastal Act, this application is exempt from review. There are existing residences with nothing else happening to them. Under the particular Coastal Act exemption that I referred to in my letter, this application is exempt. They are existing residences. To the extent that the commission believes that particular exemption doesn't apply, the commission itself has discretion to deem this to be a de minimis exemption as well. And we would ask the commission to deem it as such, given this pervasive statutory scheme of the legislature. Second of all, we have not been presented with any type of director determination. All we have seen is a staff report. There was no interested person that raised this issue. Under the statute applicable to interested person, the interested person can only be an applicant, someone with financial interest, or a particular organization, not a member of staff. In addition, the map that we submitted that was prepared by the city shows that this is not within the 100-foot Coastal Commission jurisdiction of a stream. And the statute is very particular that as to what kind of evidence the commission can use to determine whether it's within its jurisdiction. And that evidence is limited to the LCP map. If the commission goes outside of that, then it goes outside of the bounds of the statute by which it is controlled. For these reasons, we respectfully urge the commission to deny the request for a determination and to deny the appealability of the particular permit, and to hold also that the particular application, which is an issue, is quote-unquote development, is exempt from Coastal Act jurisdiction. And with that, I'm going to turn a couple of minutes to Mr. Lawson as well.
Mr. Lawson? Oh, all right. Okay sir.
One additional point I wanted to raise, since I do have a couple of minutes
sure.
Left, is this issue of whether the commission should treat the development as the entire pre-lot line adjustment parcel is, I think, very squarely addressed by the California legislature under the Subdivision Map Act. It gives a strict 90-day statute of limitations to challenge any lot line adjustment. There has been no challenge, and in fact, there have been several permits issued by the commission since the lot line adjustment took place. Recognizing the lot line adjustment, there'd be some real problems trying to get past the issue of the statute of limitations and latches and estoppel to try and treat this development as the lot line adjustment. And as well, the statute that we're dealing with here says that that the jurisdiction is determined by the particular development being applied for. In this particular instance, the development it is applied for is not the pre-existing lot line adjustment, but the only the parcel one of that lot line adjustment, and that was all that was approved by the city. So for the commission to adopt staff's position that we must treat it as the pre-existing lot line adjustment would go contrary to statute of limitations, would go contrary to the Coastal Act's own statutory requirements for treating it as the development that is pending. Thank you for your time, and I'd be glad to answer any questions if there are.
All right, thank you. We're going to go ahead and finish the hearing, and then we'll see if any commissioners have questions. They'll call you up. The next speaker is Penny Aaliyah.
Ms. Terry C. Hyde, go first, please.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Could you state your name for the record?
Terry C. Hyde. Good morning, Chair Neely and commissioners. I'm a longstanding member of the Sierra Club Save Hobo Aliso Task Force. We have been united in opposition to the development and destruction of Hobo and Aliso Canyons and Hobo Aliso Ridge for nearly a decade, and have spoken to you often on this topic. Please allow me to bring your attention to the screen. You may recall having seen this same notice of violation last month when Penny Aaliyah spoke to you about various enforcement actions related to this area. This notice related to unpermitted lot line adjustments was not only sent to the Athens Group in May of 2007, but also to Laguna Terrace Park ownership, Stephen Esslinger, and the City of Laguna Beach. There is no question that there has been an outstanding Coastal Act violation pending on these properties for well over 2 years, and that all of the parties involved have been aware of pending enforcement action. Today, our focus is not on pending enforcement action, but on the appealability to commission of the City of Laguna Beach's decision to approve Coastal Development Permit number 09-36 to subdivide the Laguna Terrace Mobile Home Park. We ask the commission to uphold the executive director's determination that the city's approval of a CDP for development in the subject area is appealable based on Section 30603A2 of the Coastal Act. Please support the staff's recommendation on appealability determination and adopt the findings presented. Thank you for protecting and preserving our finite natural resources and for upholding the Coastal Act. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Penny Aaliyah? She's five.
Good morning, Commission. Penny Aaliyah, Chair of the Sierra Club's Hobo Aliso Task Force. Thank you for 5 minutes. For many, many years, almost a decade, our former director, Mark Massara of Great Coastal Places, and I have been coming before you on this matter. There's no question that there are several interested parties. Much of the information that we would like to present today was presented to you back in October of 2008 during the vested rights hearing. But today, I'm presenting an exhibit that will help demonstrate the appealability of the City of Laguna Beach's recent approval of the Laguna Terrace Park subdivision, tentative tract number 17301.
City government and management are disputing the Coastal Commission director's judgment that this approval is appealable to the commission under the Coastal Act. And in fact, the city chose to completely ignore all correspondence from commission staff on this matter. And I believe that their feelings about this issue are very clear and that they are not even here today. This issue is with the city of Laguna Beach, as most of my issues that I bring before you. We look to you to resolve the issue of appealability for this subdivision development by determining that the unresolved 2007 Coastal Act lot line adjustments violation V-5-07-006 creates the opportunity for an appeal. According to Commission staff, these lot line adjustments dated March 23, 1995, required a coastal development permit issued directly by the Commission, and that these lot lines do not exist. Because these lot lines are invalid, the original land parcel reverts to one unified parcel, as shown in yellow on the right of this exhibit, this entire area here. The city-approved subdivision, tentative tract number 17301, is within that parcel, shown in red. As you can see, it also projects into the area of deferred certification. Also within this parcel, there is Coastal Commission appeal jurisdiction in areas of deferred certification from a post-certification map dated 1993. That remains applicable today, shown on the left of the exhibit. Clearly, the City of Laguna Beach disregarded this two-year-old lot line adjustment violation when they approved the subdivision of this parcel. Again, they also disregarded all correspondence from Commission staff on this matter. I think this is a very important point for you to note. Staff repeatedly tried to get the City of Laguna Beach to respond to them. City of Laguna Beach actually responded to me, but I'm just an interested party. Because this parcel contains commission appeal jurisdiction and areas of deferred certification, any subdivision development occurring within the yellow area requires a coastal development permit issued directly by the commission and is guaranteed an appeal under the authority of the Coastal Act. We ask you to uphold the commission staff's findings and the director's determination that this city-approved subdivision is appealable. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Boyce Belt.
Good morning, I'm Boyce Belt, the president of the Laguna Terrace Park Association. I dropped off a letter a couple of days ago to the office in Long Beach, and then after I dropped it off, I realized that it may be more effective if I were able to, let me back a little bit. Back about a year and a half ago, we had a survey of the residents as required by the previously mentioned state code. We sent out 140 inquiries, indication of interest. At that time, we got back 91 that said, yes, we are interested, 6 that said we have more questions, and 5 that says, no, we're not interested. So I decided to get a more current analysis, or at least a review. So I started Wednesday afternoon walking the community, and I picked up, as I've dropped off, I think some of you, there's 60 names that signed it out of 120 or so that are living in the park now, and I got back 10 emails. So about 70 responses out of a potential about 125 that were interested, and that was just within a couple of days. So I think there's a big interest, I know there is, of the residents of having this go through. I guess our concern right now, just as I worry we listen to all of the other technical matters, but the interest of the homeowners and the residents is for us, we would very much like to have the opportunity to purchase our lots, just as other people in the neighborhood do. So we are a little bit confused and frustrated, I suppose, that if this continues to drag on and on, that it will delay us from possibly purchasing our lots. So having said that, we certainly, as I say in my letter, want you to do all your due diligence, do everything that's necessary to protect everyone involved, and do the right thing. So that's obviously what we're asking to do, but we do hope you'll consider us. And as it stands right now, whatever happens in the park, it's going to still be the same. There's going to be no lot line adjustments within the confines of the park. Merely people will own their lot or have the opportunity to own their lot. So on that basis, we just respectfully ask you to consider it and be fair and hope that we come up with the right decision. For us, of course. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that concludes the speakers, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I just want to confirm that the dispute resolution is properly before the Commission today. The staff report is the Executive Director's determination, and the notice of final action that we received from the City, which indicates the subdivision is not appealable, we have taken as the City's position. There is clearly a dispute between the Executive Director's position and the City, and that dispute is to come to the Commission for resolution. And that's what's before you today regarding the question of appealability. And under the Coastal Act, the Commission is not recognizing the previous lot line adjustments that created the parcel that is subject of this subdivision as effective. The lot line adjustments require a coastal development permit, and none was obtained. So because those lot line adjustments are not effective, the lot that's being divided through the City's action includes area that's subject to the Commission's appeal jurisdiction, as shown on the City's certified post-certification map. And if any lot that is being created or reconfigured through a subdivision is within the Commission's appeals jurisdiction, then the entire subdivision is subject to appeal. The other allegations that were raised by the applicant today, we believe we've addressed in writing. They do not specifically relate to the question of appealability. We believe we have addressed those in writing in the addendum today. They have not raised any issues that would prevent the Commission from resolving this dispute today. And I think our legal counsel would like to add some comments.
All right. Thank you, staff. Counsel?
Thank you. With regard to the applicant's arguments about the government code and the Sequoia case, I would just direct the Commission to page 5 of the addendum, where staff's response is laid out in detail. The applicant is discussing a situation where a local government was exercising local control and not state authority under the Coastal Act, which is what the LCP confers upon the local government in this case. So that's a very different kind of situation. And we believe that's all laid out very clearly in the addendum. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
All right. Thank you, Council. I'll bring it back to the Commission. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion. I move that the Commission reject the Executive Director's determination that the City of Laguna Beach's approval of Coastal Development Permit number 09-36 is appealable to the Coastal Commission pursuant to Public Resources Code Section 30603 and recommends a no vote.
Second.
Which.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Mercurimi, a second by Commissioner Stone. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Excuse me, failure of the motion will result, excuse me, in the number one, the Commission upholding the Executive Director's determination. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner?
Well, first I'd like to pay my compliments to the staff. Solid job, I think, in the assessment of this. To me, I think, though, the issue is self-evident, and that whether we're talking about lot line adjustments or even issues pertaining to ESHA, it's clear, I think, that this issue is appealable. It's within the jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission.
Okay. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you. Just briefly, I think staff did a great job laying it out, and I also wanted to echo what counsel said, that the litigation that was quoted is really more about local jurisdictions trying to control the process of conversions in a lot of areas where they're not so welcome, and jurisdictions are trying to protect mobile home parks really as affordable housing. So that's very different, and because of the illegal lot line or the illegal actions before, I think this is certainly properly before us, and the Coastal Act definitely does apply.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you. Jurisdiction is a procedural issue. It is a constitutional issue that is not waived. Lot line adjustment does increase density and is development. I thought staff did a good job in presenting these issues.
Commissioner Wan?
Yes, I think this is clearly appealable. There's no question about what our jurisdiction is. A lot line adjustment does constitute development. It should have been issued a CDP. It was not. It should have been, and we do need to find it as appealable, and I think it's been very clear all along about this. Also, there is the issue of the environmentally sensitive habitat in the streams, and that also makes it appealable. So it's appealable on a number of bases, and it's the original lot line adjustment we're talking about.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Secord?
Subdivision is development, and development's appealable. I'm going to support the motion.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Blank?
I also support the motion, but I have a quick question for staff. Is Driftwood Properties also in Laguna Beach?
Is it in Laguna Beach? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it adjacent to this appealable area?
It's part of this larger 270-acre parcel.
So Driftwood Properties would be part of this appealable area. Is that correct?
Part of this subdivision, yes.
Okay. I still support the...
All right. Are there any other comments from commissioners? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Okay, seeing none, the commission hereby finds that it does have appeal jurisdiction in the matter pursuant to California Public Resource Code Section 30603A. Thank you. Staff, could what will be the next steps for those that are here in terms of jurisdiction, et cetera?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Just what would be the next steps in terms of this matter?
In this matter, we have indicated to the city that their notice of final action is deficient. They would need to send us a corrected notice of final action that shows it's an appealable development. Then we'll be able to open the appeal period.
Okay, thank you, staff.
And it's our intent to appeal it.
All right, thank you.
The just to close, I think, are we finished? To remind you to fill out the Form 700, the financial interest form by the end of the month. And we don't know yet whether next month's meeting will be 2 days or 3 days. Vanessa showed me the preliminary lineup. Looks like we could do it in 2 days, but I don't want to do it in 2 days if we're going to be working way into the night.
Okay.
So we'll let you know as soon as we know next week.
All right. Thank you. And that's the... Excuse me, sir, did you have a comment? Public comment. Go ahead. What was it regarding the last hearing? That item's finished.
You know, I was on, you put me on the consent calendar, which I am happy to see. But
okay.
I turned in a card that I'd like to have, make a couple comments about the special condition.
Is this the item that was approved, 7C?
Yes.
And you want us, okay.
I don't want to jeopardize that approval at all. But I had a couple of questions about the special conditions that were put on there.
Could we just ask you to talk with the staff about those since the hearing actually is closed and it has been approved? Or what would staff recommend?
Madam Chair, that's not appropriate to discuss this now in public session.
Yeah.
Because it's been closed, but you can discuss it with staff.
Would you mind, sir, just go ahead and talk with staff about that? And thank you very much. All right, we'll see you in March then. Thank you.